Hare Krishna to all the devotees of Richmond and other devotees who have joined the Sangha today. So let's join our hands together and pray to Srila Prabhupada for his blessings before we start to glorify him. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine. Om Agyana Timirandhasya Gnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Vartaman is gone. Guru Vrinda ki jai. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Radha Damodhara Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Gauni Thai ki jai. And my humble obeisances to all the devotees present in today's class. Vancha Kalpataru Bhayascha Kripa Sindhuve Vacha Patitanam Pavane Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So, last Saturday on this Sangha, we discussed about the different qualities of a Vaishnava that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is discussing with Sanatan Goswami. So, I'll just recite this sloka once again and then we will start. Kripalu akrita doha satya sara sama nidosha vadanya mrudu suchiya kinchana sarvo upakara shanta krishna eka sharana akama niha sthira vijita sadguna mit Tabuka pramata manada mani Gambhira karuna maitra kavidaksha mauni. Last Saturday we were discussing up to Akinchana. I think we completed 9 qualities, but those who were not present for last Saturday's class will give a little recap what we completed and then we'll go up with the today's guna. So we were discussing how Srila Prabhupada is so kripalu, and kripalu means that one who connects the suffering living entities to Krishna, back to Krishna again. And we see that quality in Srila Prabhupada. His whole essence was he wanted to connect people back to God, back to Godhead, back to Krishna. And then we discussed so many examples under this, that how at old age Prabhupada went and he was so merciful, because at the old age everybody would definitely like to be in their comfort zone. And then we discussed about akrita droha, how a Vaishnava is akrita droha. He's non-defiant. That means he's not argumentative. He doesn't want to argue to somebody for the heck of it to prove his superiority of knowledge or something. He's non-defiant and humble because he thinks himself as a servant of the Lord. So under that also we were talking about so many different examples. And how Srila Prabhupada, even at all, whenever he did argue, was only to prove that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that the suffering jivas can connect back to Krishna. So just to arouse that, he used to give an argument, but not to prove his learning or panditatva or tatva, that he knows lot or something like that. Then we discuss about the qualities of satyasar, that how a Vaishnava is satyasar. That means he is always speaking the truth. So then we discuss what is truth. Truth means that which is absolute truth. We should know what is truth. Sometimes if the devotees take this quality very literally, that devotee means is supposed to speak only truth. Then one time Prabhupada gave example. He said that let's say you are going somewhere in the bus and a thief catches you and says you have Lakshmi, and then devotee may say, I am supposed to be satyasar, so better to surrender all the Lakshmi to him. No, at that time you say, I don't have, because anyway it's not your Lakshmi, it is Krishna's Lakshmi. So one has to be very intelligent to understand how to be satyasar. So we all know this very famous example of how Yudhishthira Maharaj was a satyasar and he never spoke anything that was a untruth or lie. But then there is this very famous story where people say that Yudhishthir, because he spoke that half truth and half lie on behest of Krishna, he was you know what, he was he had to go to Narak, he had to go to the hell mentally for a few seconds because he had spoken that lie. Now that is true because that is there in various Puranas, but the interpretation and purport that people give is he never spoke a lie, but because he spoke that half lie, that is why he had to suffer in the mentally in the hell for a few seconds, where he saw that Duryodhan is happy and his brothers are suffering. Whereas one of the Vaishnava Acharya gave a very good commentary on that. He said Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't have to suffer mentally for a few seconds in the hell because of his half lie. He had to suffer because he was reluctant to speak lie even after ordered by Krishna. Because when Krishna himself told him that you have to speak lie, Ashwatthama, Narova, Kunjava, at that time he was a little reluctant that, do I have to speak lie? Because I never spoke lie whole my life. Can it be avoided? So he was little reluctant, and Krishna had to convince him that no, it is required. That's the need of the hour. So one of the Vaishnava Acharyas gave very good purport that he got that karma because when Krishna says to do something, you do it. At that time, you don't think whether it's reasonable. Should I do it? Should I not do it? And that is why he had to suffer in hell, because he was not confidently following Krishna's instruction. So this Satyasar quality, we have to be very, very careful where you use Satyasar, what is Satya first of all, and we have to carefully imply it in our life. Then we spoke about Sama. Now all these qualities by themselves are so huge. The whatever we are discussing last Saturday and today is we are just giving a very, very narrow meaning, very shallow meaning, because of the lack of time. Otherwise, like for example, let's say this quality Sama, so the interpretation that we gave is Srila Prabhupada was Sama, Pandita Samadarshana, he was equal to everybody. But actually there can be hundreds of interpretation for the quality of Sama. Sama does not only mean that a Vaishnava is equal to everybody. Sama also means that a Vaishnava is Sama in every situation, like it says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita about the different 35 qualities of a devotee, where this one quality comes, a devotee is Sama. In every situation he is the same, because he is surrendered to Krishna, because he has full faith on Krishna. So like that, for this one quality Sama, there can be hundreds of interpretations. Sama in situations, Sama in dealing with people, Sama in eating food, Sama in use of senses, Sama in service. Like that we can just go on. But what we are doing is we're just touching a little of all qualities, trying to take just one or two examples from those qualities and enjoy this, you know, how we can see this 26 beautiful qualities in our dear Srila Prabhupada. But otherwise, every quality is huge in itself. So here we spoke about Sama, how Prabhupada was so equal to everybody in every situation. In fact, I was reminded of this one pastime, which is very famous in ISKCON, of how one sannyasi, he left his sannyas ashram, and when he sent a letter to Srila Prabhupada, and his secretary was reading it to Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, he's left the movement, and he's also given back the danda, you know, by parcel. He also sent back the danda given by Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was so appreciative. He said, look how responsible he is. He just sent the danda back also. And the secretary was surprised. You know, I mean, he was expecting some kind of a chastisement for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada makes such a sweet face and says, how responsible he is. He sent the danda back, you know. So that is Prabhupada. You know, every situation, he doesn't, you know, why is he able to be like that? Because he's connected to Krishna. And then we were discussing how if we want to bring that quality, it's possible only if we are connected to Krishna. If we are connected to the higher consciousness, if we are in higher consciousness, then the lower consciousness doesn't affect us. You see, it's raining in Vishakhapatnam as of now, last 2 days. It's raining like anything. But then all of us, we are staying in the second floor, and it doesn't affect much, because you really enjoy the rain when you are on the top floors, you know. But when we come down to the temple, because the temple is on the ground floor, then it's gets little disturbance during the Mangala Arati. So why I'm giving this example is when you are in a higher consciousness, then every situation that you face in life is because you can look at it neutrally, then you can enjoy the whole thing, whatever is happening in your life. But when you are in lower consciousness, then it's actually affecting you, then you can't enjoy, you will be affected. Sometimes you are sad, sometimes you are happy. Sometimes, you know, you are in a bad mood, sometimes you are in good mood, you will keep, you know, but if you are in higher consciousness and connected to Krishna, it doesn't affect you. So that is what with Sama, then we spoke about Nidosha, how Srila Prabhupada is faultless, and then we were discussing how we can't see fault in a pure devotee because they are connected to Krishna and Krishna is perfect, and those who are worshipping the perfect Krishna are perfect. So if we are connected to the perfect Krishna, then we are also perfect. So then we spoke about lot of different stories of how Prabhupada was so careful. Nobody could find fault with Krishna, with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada also never found fault with anybody. So that is one quality of Srila Prabhupada. I was reminded that once one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, this thing, I think it happened in Mayapur, if I'm not wrong. Somebody came and gave a gallon of gulab jamuns. So Prabhupada took them immediately and then he started distributing. So one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, it's not offered. So he thought Prabhupada is going to really appreciate him, that, you know, how great, nobody was reminded, and here this person was reminded that it's not offered. But instead Prabhupada, while just going to give him gulab jamun, and when he said, Prabhupada, it's not offered, Prabhupada said, I don't think you need it. He just took it back and he started distributing to others. So I thought that was a good lesson to learn, that, you know, finding fault, you know, that is not a very good quality. Vaishnav should try to avoid that, you know, trying to find fault with others. And because we think that's okay, I'm not going to do that with my guru, but when we make it a habit to find fault with others, then ultimately one fine day we'll start finding fault with our guru, and then we'll start finding fault with Shastra, and then we'll start finding fault with Krishna, and it's a snowball effect. It's going to happen. So we need to cut it down at the bud. So even if with whom we are associating, whatever, we have to be very careful that we don't find faults. So that was one thing. And then Prabhupada was perfect. You know, I think this story, you all must have heard, a very, very famous story of how Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and he was doing parikrama of Krishna Balaram temple with all his sannyasi disciples with big dandas, and it was such a beautiful sight for everybody to see. And then this is just after Mangala Arati, and then when Prabhupada is doing the parikrama with them, and he spontaneously says, did you see that? And his disciples are like, you know, clueless. What is Prabhupada asking us to see? So they don't understand. And then the second round of parikrama, and Prabhupada again asked, did you see that? And they're still clueless. And the third and the fourth and the fifth, and Prabhupada's getting upset, and he said, did you see that? And then, and on the fifth round, Prabhupada said, you saw, but you didn't see. I mean, you are seeing, but you are not seeing. And then the sannyasis conclude that probably Prabhupada is seeing some Krishna Leela, which we are not able to see. So they get so anxious, how come we are not able to see? And at the final round of parikrama, Prabhupada says, the tube light is on, you know, and it's bright, you know, sun now, and why can't somebody off the tube light? So what he was trying to say all the while was that you are able to see that the tube light is on, but you are not seeing it. So Prabhupada was really, really perfect, really, really very practical and very perfect, right? So like that, there's amazing examples about how Prabhupada was faultless. Then we spoke about Vadanya. Vadanya means one who is magnanimous in distributing the love of Godhead freely to everybody. And we see this quality in Srila Prabhupada. I was once hearing in Mayapur, Lakshmi Mani Mataji was telling this, that Prabhupada was so kind because the kind of situation and the kind of mindset that we had, we knew nothing about deity worship. And she was telling that how once in the Toronto temple, they had very little small deities. So they started making little samosas and little small puris and little kachoris, because they saw that the deities were small. So they thought that the offering should also be small. And then Prabhupada wrote a letter to them and he said, stop that. He said, no, Krishna is a 16-year-old hungry boy. You should feed him nicely. Not that the deity is small, so you start making the offering small. You should give him a full plate prasadam. And then Mataji was saying that in the Los Angeles temple, what Prabhupada once saw is that they were having this plate of bhoga for the deities. They went and put the bhoga in the altar. And then Prabhupada saw every 2-3 minutes somebody is coming in and out of the altar. And Prabhupada was like, what is happening? And then when he called the pujari, they said, no, Prabhupada, we're making hot chapatis for the deities. So we're making one chapati, bringing it, then we're bringing the second chapati, just like you like it. Now, Prabhupada had this system. He used to like hot chapatis, hot steaming chapati, and they have to be round and big and full. So whenever he used to take prasadam, he had this bell on his table. And once he's half done with the chapati, he'll ring the bell. So when he rings the bell, then whoever is cooking for him has to put the raw chapati on the stove. So by the time Prabhupada finishes the last bite, the hot chapati will come in, which is steaming and completely blown up. So he said, just like you like it, we thought the deities also will like it. So we're just bringing hot chapatis. And then Prabhupada said, don't do that. Just put how many chapatis you want to put it at a time. And then she was talking about how in the Buffalo temple, twice in a month, they used to bring Jagannath from the altar into the office room and put him inside a soft, soapy, hot water tub, make him take bath and bring some towel from the Brahmachari ashram and dry him. And then Prabhupada had to say, you can't do that. You have to do it inside the altar. You can't bring him in the office room and give him a shower or give him a bath or something like that. So Mataji was explaining that, you know, how much Prabhupada tolerated us. He was really so magnanimous, vadanya. He was so kind, right? So Prabhupada was vadanya. And then we spoke about how Prabhupada is mridu, so soft-hearted. You know, he couldn't say no to anybody. He was so kind to everybody, and he wanted to distribute Krishna's mercy to everybody. And then we spoke about Suchi, how Prabhupada was so particular about cleanliness. Cleanliness inside and cleanliness outside. And then we spoke about Akinchana and how a Vaishnav is one who is without material possession. And then we spoke about how Prabhupada had such a simple life, and he also preached about simple living and high thinking. So that is where we ended last Saturday. We come with our today's quality, Sarva Upakara. A Vaishnav is Sarva Upakari. Sarva Upakari means he is for the welfare of all. He wants to do welfare for everybody. Now, what does it mean by welfare? What is the definition of welfare? So welfare means the greatest welfare is to assist the Lord in distributing his mercy. Lord Chaitanya came here to distribute his mercy to everybody. And Lord Chaitanya wanted that this Sankirtan movement should be spread far and wide. So the real welfare will be when we connect the devotees to Krishna. That's the real welfare. Like Prabhupada was giving this example that if a businessman's son has lost his way, it's good if you give him food, but he'll feel hungry again the next day. The best welfare will be if you can connect him back to his father. So similarly, the greatest welfare is when we connect people back to Krishna. So Prabhupada was Sarvopakari. And as we were discussing last Saturday, that not only for humans, he was concerned with everybody, whether it is animal, insects. He wanted to help everybody and connect everybody back to Krishna. I remember this one pastime that I had heard about. Once Prabhupada was in the garden and he saw a slug. A slug was dying. So Prabhupada immediately called his one of the disciples who was doing japa walk there, and he said, come here. And he said, sit here and chant one round for this slug. The dying slug.
and that devotee, he chanted one round and the insect slug died. So that was Prabhupada. And he knew how to do welfare. That is very important. He had different treatments for everybody. His definition of welfare was different. For example, I was reading this one beautiful pastime of Himavati Mataji. Himavati Mataji, she was very attached to a cat. So once when Prabhupada visited her, Himavati Mataji, Prabhupada was sitting and Himavati Mataji's cat came and sat next to Prabhupada's lotus feet. So Prabhupada just tapped on the cat. And that was about it. He showed some affection. And after that, within 2 to 3 days, her cat died. Now, for somebody who, you know, for a materialistic person, their definition of welfare would be that if the guru blesses us, our business should go on well. If the guru blesses us, my son should get top rank, get a seat in IIT, get a visa, get a good job. If guru is kind to us, my family members will be fine. Everybody's health will be fine. That is what is the definition of welfare. But that is a very narrow definition. What Prabhupada is actually want to do welfare is welfare for the soul. So now what he really did is benefit for both of them. The cat was benefited because it had the association of the pure devotee of the Lord. So maybe it was just delivered, maybe gone back to Godhead or got a better life, a better body. And he was kind to Himavati Mataji because Himavati Mataji was very attached to the cat. So now when the cat died, now her whole attachment from the cat has shifted to seva, service, to Prabhupada, to Krishna. So Prabhupada did benefit for both of them. So the definition of welfare, that's very important. So only the guru knows. Sometimes we have a very narrow definition of welfare. So Prabhupada was sarva upakari. In the final days, when he was in Vrindavan in 1977, the Detroit temple president had come to meet Prabhupada. So on that bed, as he was lying, Prabhupada asked him that, "Are you okay? Everything is fine? Are the devotees in Detroit okay? Are they getting good prasadam?" And the Kaviraj, who was sitting there, he had tears in his eyes. And then he was sharing with the Detroit temple president. He said, "Your guru is a paramahansa." And he said, "You know why I'm telling that? Because as I am treating him, I understand that his body is completely withered off. There is nothing, there is no fat, there is no muscle. The nerves are actually touching the bones and so much pain is there. If anybody is there in his place, they'll take some morphine or something. They cannot bear the pain. But I don't know how, and forget about his bearing the pain. I'm unable to imagine the way he's asking you with so much love and affection, 'Are you okay? Are the devotees fine?'" And he said, "I'm just, you know, your guru is actually showing by the example that we are not this body, we are soul. He's not at all in bodily consciousness." He was amazed. Sarva upakari. Prabhupada, even though he himself is in the bed and he is suffering, he's always thinking about others. Is everybody fine? Is everybody getting prasadam? In fact, when Prabhupada visited New Vrindavan, so he saw one Mataji. So her name was Gopa Devi Mataji, and she was wearing a simple thin sari. The climate on New Vrindavan was quite cold. So Prabhupada immediately asked her, "Are you okay? Are you warm enough? Do you need anything? Can I do something for you?" Now Kuladri Prabhu was standing next to Prabhupada, and he said, "Prabhupada, they're fine. They're just so happy to see you, Prabhupada. That's all. They just want to see you. That is all they want." And Prabhupada immediately said, "No. You should ask them if they need anything. They are women. They may feel shy to ask. So you should every month check with them if they have enough warm clothes, if they need anything." You know, so he was so concerned about everybody. So that is Prabhupada. He was concerned about everybody's prasadam, health, their spiritual lives, their relationships. He was so expert in, you know, about every aspect of a devotee. I mean, devotee care incomplete. It was not only that he keeps asking you, "How is your 16 rounds and how is the book distribution?" He asked everything. You know, how's your health? How's everything with you. No, he was so magnanimous. He had such beautiful heart. Okay, then I remember one more pastime with Sridhar Maharaj. Sridhar Maharaj was, I think that was his sannyas ceremony day. So he is inside Prabhupada's room. And before Prabhupada is ready to give him sannyas, this was told by my Guru Maharaj. I heard once, he told this in the class. He said, Prabhupada asked Sridhar Maharaj, he said, so are you ready for taking sannyas? 100%? You're sure? And just see the beauty of the devotees also those days. They were so honest, is what strikes me. So honest. He said, no, Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada said, okay, 75%? Are you prepared? He said, no, Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, okay, 50%? Then he said, yes, Prabhupada, 50% I'm ready. Then Prabhupada said, okay, rest I'll manage. 50% you're ready, I'll give you sannyas. And I thought, two things strike me. One is definitely Prabhupada is sarvopakari, and even though somebody is not qualified, he wants to help. And the other thing that strike my mind was the sweet, innocent and honest nature of the devotees those days. There was no hypocrisy. If it's anyone among us and in front of Prabhupada, we would have end up saying, yeah, yeah, I'm 100% confident, no problem, Prabhupada. Because at least for the heck of it, we'll say, you know, how can we say it? But they were so honest with Prabhupada. They were so honest. And because they were honest, they could progress. And I thought that was such an important point in a devotee's life. If you are a hypocrite, then you can't progress in Krishna consciousness. Because if we are not speaking the truth in front of the doctor can't help us. If you are feeling shy in front of the doctor, then how can I tell the doctor that I have a stomach problem? The doctor can't help us. We need to be truthful to the doctor. This is my problem. This is how my spiritual standard is. Please help me. Then the doctor can help us. So I thought that was really, really beautiful point. So then the next quality in a Vaishnava is, a Vaishnava is Shanta. Shanta means a devotee is peaceful. Now, why is a devotee peaceful? Because what creates chaos in our life is uncontrolled senses. But if a devotee is smart and he engages his senses in Krishna's service, then the senses are controlled. And once the senses are controlled, then he becomes peaceful. Right? See, that's a very, very beautiful bhajan. Na? He says that, Tumara hridaye sada govinda vishram, govinda kahe namura vaishnava param. In the heart of a Vaishnava, Govinda says, I am resting. Because devotee doesn't have any desire except the desire to serve Krishna. But when Krishna in other people's heart is always busy fulfilling their desires, but devotee's heart, Krishna is taking rest, vishram. Right? So Krishna's devotee is Shanta, peaceful. We see Prabhupada, no matter what kind of situations came in his life, he was always at peace. I remember this pastime happened in Mauritius when Prabhupada was with Pushta Krishna Prabhu. And the president of Mauritius, he had sent a car for Prabhupada. He wanted to see Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is supposed to take the car and go to the president's house to meet the president. So the chauffeur came, Prabhupada sat in the car, Pushta Krishna Prabhu sat in the car, they're all ready, the car started. On the way there was a discussion where Prabhupada was informed that how the president of Mauritius is supporting the slaughterhouses. Prabhupada got very upset and he said, I don't want to meet him. So now what to do? Prabhupada saying he doesn't want to meet him. So then the devotee said, since we are already in the car, what we can do is, we can just have a sightseeing tour of the city and then we'll come back where we are staying. So Prabhupada said, fine. So then when they were on this tour of Mauritius city, they met a very bad accident. So even Prabhupada got a little hurt, the devotee got a little hurt, and then they just drove back to the place where they were staying. So Pushta Krishna Prabhu says in his realizations, he said, I was amazed to see how calm Prabhupada was. Without speaking anything, we simply went inside, we did whatever the first aid we are supposed to do. And then I thought, because he said that I was personally shaken by that accident, and I thought maybe we should just go back to India. So I was telling Prabhupada, shall we just go back to Mayapur? And Prabhupada said, no, let's continue with our preaching tour. So where are we going next? And he said, I was surprised. He was so calm and as usual, you know, doing his translation, doing his reading. So usually, you know, as devotees, if we are faced certain this kind of a situation, it'll, at least for some time it will be in our mind. We can't peacefully chant or something. But this is one quality of a devotee. In fact, when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he got a message that in Mayapur, devotees were arrested. Because there was some kind of a fighting, some Muslims had come there with their cows and for grazing, and you know they were disturbing our crops. So devotees had pushed them away. It's a big detail of what happened. I think they shaved off one Muslim man or something like that. You know, it's very very interesting how this whole thing happened. And then they also came back for a revenge. And then I think Bhavananda Maharaj he just had some shotgun, and I think he did shoot. So one of the Muslim guy got hurt in his leg, and there was a lot of, it was in self-defense, because they had come very aggressively. A lot of people had come and, you know, they were attacking the devotees. So when all these things happen, because you see these people are Westerners and these Muslims are the local people. So they first went to the police station and complained in Krishnanagar. So you know how the Indian police work. The person who complains first is always right. So then they come and then they arrest the devotees. And not only that, they actually handcuffed Bhavananda Prabhu, and they dragged him to the police station, and it was all over in the newspapers. And when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and Prabhupada's secretary was reading the newspaper cutting for Prabhupada, that this is what happened, and Prabhupada was crying, and he was saying that these people are demons, they're not able to see devotees happy. What because for them, for Prabhupada, all these Western devotees are very very special, because they had left their country, they have left their comfort zones, they have left their culture, they have left their homeland, and here they are in an unknown place, unknown culture, they don't know a language, they're all very young, maybe some 18 year, 19 year, 21 year. For Prabhupada, they were like his own children. He just wanted to protect them, and now they are handcuffed and they've been dragged to the jail, and Prabhupada is crying, and the tears are flowing down from Prabhupada's eyes. And then, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and others were like, you know, we are working on it, Prabhupada. We'll take care of it. And then very next moment, Prabhupada is inside and he's translating. And during this incident, he was translating Srimad Bhagavatam 10th Canto, Damodar Leela. And now if we read that Damodar Leela, we cannot even understand what was going on in Prabhupada's mind at that time. Such awkward situation. Devotees have been arrested. He was crying. But very next moment he's writing this purport to this beautiful Damodar Leela where Yashoda is tying Krishna and what is happening. So now imagine, this is Shanta, peaceful. That means he's so connected to Krishna. So no matter what situation is happening outside, whatever turmoil is happening, he's dealing with that. But at the same time, he's connected to Krishna. He can maintain his, equilibrium. So I thought that was so beautiful, right? Shanta, Prabhupada is really, really peaceful. I heard one pastime in New Zealand in 1976, one devotee locked Prabhupada in the bathroom by mistake. Just before Prabhupada's evening class, Prabhupada is inside the bathroom. By mistake, somebody locked him in, and then Prabhupada was shouting, you know, that somebody bring me out. And the devotee who had done that by mistake was so afraid. He was just like, somehow he crawled in, opened the latch and ran, because he was worried Prabhupada will, you know, say him something. And Prabhupada is fine. He just comes out and he just puts his tilak, and there he regally goes on his Vyasasana and he starts the class as nothing has happened. Anybody in his place, at least for some time, he'll be disturbed. You know, I'm an old man and they locked me in the... Of course, it was by mistake, but you know, Shanta, Shanta. In every situation, Prabhupada is so peaceful, so peaceful. So, how can we be peaceful? This question will come to devotees' mind, because this is one thing, I guess everybody is facing a challenge, how to be peaceful. I was reading, in Bhagavad Gita, there is one sloka, Bhokta Ram Yajna Tapasam. This is chapter 5, sloka number 29. If you see in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that, who can be peaceful? It's very interesting, you should read it, devotees. Prabhupada says that, who can be peaceful? He gives a formula. He says, if you want to be peaceful, then you should have firm faith on three things. One is that Krishna is the proprietor of this whole world. Second thing is, Krishna is my well-wisher. And I am not the controller of anything. See, it's so simple, right? If somebody is very convinced that Krishna is the proprietor of this world and he is my well-wisher, then half of our problems are sorted out. That agitation that, you know, comes in our heart, you know, I can sort out this, or this is in my hand. First of all, we have to be convinced that Krishna is the proprietor, and that person who is the proprietor is my well-wisher. So whatever he'll do for my good. And the third and the most important thing is, my life is for his service. That's all, and no other desire. So if this three thing is there in anybody's life, then they can become peaceful. Then my life is for service of Krishna. So that way we can also develop this quality of Shanta, right? When we understand that nothing is in our control, then automatically we become peaceful. Why aren't we peaceful? Because we think we can make a change, we can do something. We are not surrendered, right? No, at the same time, I don't mean by saying that you don't take an action, but you take that in action in that consciousness that your action is in your hand, but the result of the action is not in your hand. The problem is not about committing action. There is no issue about it. You act, you react, whatever you want to do. The agitation comes when we have expectation with the result of that action. If we have no expectation with the result of the action, there will be no agitation, because the action itself doesn't cause any agitation. What will be the result? That expectation is what causes agitation. I just hope I could make it clear. So that is one thing. If devotees want to be peaceful, then this is what they need to do, is understand that Krishna is our well-wisher and try to serve him. So, coming with the next quality. So, next is Krishna Eka Sharana. Krishna Eka Sharana. Oh, that's so beautiful quality. Devotee is Krishna Eka Sharana. Devotee is surrendered to the Lord. Devotee is completely surrendered to Lord Shri Krishna. For him, Krishna is everything. He doesn't have plan A, plan B, plan C. For him, plan A, B, C, D, Z is Krishna. He's completely surrendered to Krishna. So in that we see in Srila Prabhupada's life, yeah, because Prabhupada was completely dependent on Krishna. I remember this example which I had read about how Srila Prabhupada, once he was walking in Calcutta near this Victoria Memorial. So devotees were walking with him, and Prabhupada was just showing that, you know, that Victoria Memorial, it's huge and it's big height. So Prabhupada was telling that when I was young, I climbed up the Victoria Memorial scaffolding. Now that is quite high, you know. So then Prabhupada was showing them that when I was young, I climbed the scaffolding of that building. And then one of the disciples who was with Prabhupada in the morning walk, he said, Prabhupada, you must be brave, you know, I mean, climbing that tall building. So then he used the word, you must have been brave. So then Prabhupada corrected him and said, I am brave even now. Didn't I come to your country all alone? You know, in this old age, I don't know anybody. I still came to your country. I'm brave even now. That's what Prabhupada said. So yes, Prabhupada is brave because Prabhupada is Krishna Eka Sharana. You know, I remember reading in Bhakti Charu Maharaj's book, Ocean of Mercy. Bhakti Charu Maharaj says that I was once alone with Prabhupada, and I was very emotional, and I was just telling Prabhupada, how I wish I was there with you and serving you in your early days, you were all alone, struggling. Now I'm serving you. No, it was Bhaktisara Maharaj was when he came in. It was very late. I think 76. He got connected to Prabhupada. So he said, "How I wish I could have served you in your early days. You were all alone, struggling." And then Prabhupada immediately corrected him and said, "Who told you I was all alone? Krishna was with me all the time." And then Bhaktisara Maharaj is like, "Oh my God!" When I heard that, I was like, "Yeah, Prabhupada, Krishna is with you all the time." So Prabhupada is always in that consciousness that Krishna is with me all the time. I was never alone. Yeah? Krishna Eka Sharanam. And Prabhupada was so particular about serving, loving, worshipping, praying only Krishna and nobody else, no matter what situation is. I remember, this Prabhuji, Nischintya Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple, he was once mentioning that we were all doing book distribution and Guru Kripa Swami's book distribution was going very well, the Chicago group, and they were getting good scores. So we came to know from somebody that they are worshipping Ganesha before going for Sankirtan. That is why they are getting lot of Lakshmi. So we also decided that we will also worship Ganesh. So they all started worshipping Ganesh before going for Sankirtan. So the temple president said, "Look, we're not supposed to worship Ganesh. What is this new thing you people are doing?" Then they said, "No, we don't want to listen to you. Do whatever you want to. When Guru Kripa Swami can do it, why can't we do it?" So then the GBC also, came in the picture and said, "What are you doing? Why are you worshipping Ganesha?" And they said, "We forget about GBC. We don't want to listen to you also." So what they did is, Nischintya Prabhu and the other devotees who were doing Sankirtan, they all wrote a letter to Prabhupada and they all signed it. It was like a revolt. They wanted to worship Ganesha because they wanted no obstacles and they wanted lot of Lakshmi should come. So they wrote a letter, everybody signed and they sent it to Prabhupada. And they were waiting eagerly for Prabhupada's reply. And then Prabhupada replied. So the Prabhupada says, "I'm in receipt of your letter and accept my blessings." And everybody is like surrounded, and Prabhupada and the devotee is reading the letter, and everybody is like anxiously waiting what Prabhupada is going to say, because devotees had quoted from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It says that you should worship Ganesha to remove all obstacles, so we want to do it. So then while there are, Prabhupada's letter is being read, everybody is anxiously waiting what's going to be the answer. And then Prabhupada says, "Look, Krishna says that you should worship him. Krishna says that those who worship the demigods, they are of lower intelligence." And then he says, now the devotees are already like, "Oh, so we are not supposed to worship." But then the third line Prabhupada says, "However, if you want to worship Ganesha to get more Lakshmi, go ahead and do it. But the condition is that every month you should send me $100,000, not a farthing less. Even one dollar I will not accept less. Every month if you send me $100,000, then go ahead and worship Ganesha if you want to." So after that, devotees never spoke about it. They just closed the letter. They said, "Forget about it." So that is what Prabhupada said about worshipping Ganesh. So he just wanted to, he answered both ways. It's not the correct thing to do, but if at all you want to do it, then increase your service in such a fold that it's okay. Whatever you want to do, you do. So then the devotees never thought about worshipping Ganesha again. So like that we see Prabhupada was so surrendered to Krishna. Otherwise, who at this old age would take a risk of going to an unknown place and unknown people and unknown culture? He didn't know anybody and he was living among them. And Prabhupada was Krishna Eka Sharana, and Prabhupada's disciples were Prabhupada Eka Sharana. They were completely surrendered to Prabhupada. Whatever Prabhupada said, they were ready. If Prabhupada would have asked them to jump, they would have jumped from a building. They could have do anything for Prabhupada. They were Prabhupada Eka Sharana. We see even now when Prabhupada disciples talk about it, they said, "We were in love with Prabhupada. Just for his smile, we could do anything. Even the impossible became possible because we wanted to please our guru." So I remember this one pastime of Manmohini Mataji. So Manmohini Mataji was very young, and then she joined ISKCON, And of course, it was against her parents' wishes, and she ends up getting married. So Prabhupada arranges her marriage, you know, ask her to get married to this devotee. So they're surrendered to Prabhupada. Whatever Prabhupada says, they do. So after some time, she calls her mother. So her mother is very happy to receive her call. So Manmohini Mataji was very young, maybe 18, 19 year old. So then she calls her mother, and she very excitedly says, she says, "You know, mother, I'm a married woman now. I'm married." So the mother is like, "Really? Wow. So what's the name of your husband?" And then Manmohini Mataji says, "Name of my husband? One minute, can you just hold the line? I'll ask him and come. 1 minute." So she just goes and asks her husband, "What is your name?" So after asking the name, she comes back and she says, "So mother, his name is..." And the mother is like, "You know, you have gone nuts. Just keep the phone down." And she just cuts the phone. It is, because she thinks this is crazy. You get married to somebody and you don't even know the name of that person. So they were completely Prabhupada Ek Sharana. They don't care. Prabhupada said, "Marry means marry, sit means sit, do this means do that." You know, they were ready to do that. So, no, I was just thinking that this quality of Krishna Ek Sharana, how do we get it in our lives? Oh, we'll get all sorts of questions. So, how do we develop this quality of Krishna Ek Sharana in our life? So, to develop this quality, what we need to do is, because we are connected to our Guru, and our Guru is, you know, Krishna Eka Sharana, connected to Prabhupada. So what we can do is, if we take every simple instruction of our Guru very seriously and sincerely, then we are Krishna Eka Sharana. I'll repeat again. If you take even a simple instruction of your Guru very seriously and sincerely, then you are Krishna Eka Sharana. So, simple instruction. So, I'm not talking about big instructions about which ashram you are going to select, whether you will be brahmachari or grihastha, whether you will do this or that. Even very simple instruction, if the guru says, you know, keep this here, can you give me a pen, can you bring me that, whatever the small instruction, if you take it to your heart very sincerely, very seriously, then you get the blessings of Krishna, right? So that way, even devotees can be Krishna Eka Sharana, like Prabhupada. We see this, how Prabhupada, once in Australia, he had opened a new center and newly established deities, and the temple president was only just 2-month-old devotee. He himself was just a 2-month-old devotee, and Prabhupada had to immediately go to some other temple for some other preaching work, and he goes and stands in front of the deities and he's requesting the deities that, "Can you please take care of the devotees while I come back, you know?" So instead of telling the devotees to take care of the deities, he asked the deities to please take care of these devotees, because they were all so new, right? So Krishna Eka Sharana. Srila Prabhupada was Krishna Eka Sharana. Next, the quality. Next quality is Akama. Akama means devotees are desireless. So that means, was Prabhupada desireless? No, desireless means bereft of any material desire. Devotee has a desire to please Krishna. Devotee has a desire to serve Krishna. Right? Like I was once hearing one of Srila Prabhupada's disciple. He said, Prabhupada's every desire was 108% Krishna conscious. Every desire of Srila Prabhupada was 108% Krishna conscious. So that is the definition of desireless. No desire for self and only for pleasing Guru and Krishna, right? So Prabhupada had no desire that, you know, somebody should appreciate him or he gets some kind of a name, fame. Or he was so simple. In the 1977, when Prabhupada was not well and he had to be carried in a palanquin, so once they took Prabhupada in the palanquin from Prabhupada house to the Gurukul building. Those of you who have been to Vrindavan, you know how, where's the Prabhupada house, and then you have to cross the temple to go to the Gurukul building. So they were taking Prabhupada in the palanquin. And after coming back from Gurukul building, while going, Prabhupada said, I can hear some noise. What is happening? So they said, Prabhupada, the devotees are doing kirtan in the temple. Prabhupada said, very well. While coming back, Prabhupada again asked, so what is happening? What they are doing? So again the devotee said, Prabhupada, they are doing kirtan. So he said, no, what are they singing? So then they said, Prabhupada, they are saying, Jai Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada said, stop that. Ask them to sing Hare Krishna kirtan. Now that was amazing. You see, Prabhupada was so sharp. That means while he was being taken to the Gurukul, he did notice that they were not chanting Hare Krishna, they were doing some other kirtan. I mean, they were just chanting Prabhupada's name, and Prabhupada didn't want that. He wanted that they should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that was so sweet of Prabhupada. Huh? He had no such desire of personal glory or personal benefit, or somebody should glorify him. He didn't want to take any. In fact, he didn't want to take any credit also. We know that every time anybody tried to appreciate him, he said, this is all because of my Guru Maharaj. My Guru Maharaj sent all of you young boys and girls to help me. So he don't have any personal agenda. The only desire he had was that he wanted to preach about Krishna, right? So he did have desire to do something big, akhil cheshta, but for Krishna, not for anything, not for himself. So once Gurudas Prabhu was telling Prabhupada, when they had acquired that land in Vrindavan in Ramanreti, so Gurudas Prabhu was telling that Prabhupada, instead of spending money and manpower on this land in Ramanreti, why can't we use our resources and our manpower and put some pressure and try to acquire the Radha Damodar temple, and then we will do something very small here in Ramanreti. And then Prabhupada smiled and said, I have a disease. I can't do anything small. I can't think small. I can only think big. So I can't make anything small. I want to make big temple. I want to do something big for Krishna. I have this disease, he said. I have this disease. He says, when I was working for Bose Pharmaceuticals, even those days I had big thinking, big planning. I wanted to be big distributor. This is the disease. I can't think small. I want to do something big for Krishna. So yes, Prabhupada did have desire, but his desire were 108% Krishna conscious. So those who can't understand this, they may take Prabhupada's life stories in different context, where they'll say, oh my God, Prabhupada had desire for money, or Prabhupada had, but he just wanted to channelize it for Krishna's service. I remember reading this very beautiful pastime from Bhurijan Prabhu's books. If you have got that copy, it's called My Glorious Master. It's one amazing, amazing book. A devotee should not miss. Wonderful pastimes of Prabhupada in Manila and in Japan and many other places where Bhurijan Prabhu traveled with Prabhupada. And his whole life he has explained in that, and it's very amazing with different nice realizations and purports by him. So here Bhurijan Prabhu is explaining about one particular pastime of how once they were on a morning walk with Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, Sudama Prabhu, Bhurijan Prabhu, Trivikram Swami and Karandhar Prabhu. So they were all walking. And Karandhar Prabhu was just explaining to Prabhupada that Prabhupada, Kirtananda Swami has sent a letter, and he's suggesting that devotees are going out for book distribution in Western outfits, which is not very good, because when they are in Western outfit, they are in different consciousness, and sometimes they end up doing things which is non-devotional or anti-devotional. So why can't we make a rule in our society that when devotees go out for book distribution, they must go only in devotional dress, dhoti and kurta. So then there was some brainstorming happening to and fro, because there are some disadvantages, because when devotees go in dhoti kurta, they can't sell that many books and they can't collect that much Lakshmi as much they can do when they go in Western outfits. So when this whole topic was going on, then Karandhar Prabhu said, okay Prabhupada, I have an idea. I have an alternative. By applying this, what Kirtananda Prabhu said, that request will be fulfilled. At the same time, book distribution will happen very nicely. Only thing is, Lakshmi that will come will be little less. Money will come less. That's all problem. So immediately, Burijan Prabhu, he jumped into the conversation. He thought, let me make one very witty statement which will please Prabhupada. So he immediately said to Karandhar Prabhu, we are not bothered about money, okay? Money is not important. Book distribution is important. And Prabhupada very angrily looked at Burijan Prabhu and said, this is nonsense. This is hippie philosophy. Who said we are not bothered about money? Definitely we are bothered about money. Without money, how we are going to spread Krishna consciousness? Money is Lakshmi. Lakshmi is very important. Definitely I am bothered about money. Who taught you this? This is hippie philosophy. This is nonsense. Immediately Burijan Prabhu thought, I thought this will please Prabhupada, that I am saying we are not bothered about money. Prabhupada said, we are definitely bothered about money. Is very important. How we'll manage? So sometimes, you know, people have this fancy imagination that saintly people means they'll not talk about money, they'll not talk. But Prabhupada was so practical, he said, how, without money, how we are going to function? So we all know this very famous story of how once they showed to Prabhupada a photo of a Swami, you know, where there is money lying, and he's saying, no, no, I don't want money, I don't touch money. And then Prabhupada said that, take my picture with all the money where I'm hugging the money, you know. I want money, I want to use it for Krishna's service. It was so practical. So desire, yes, there was desire, but that was 108% Krishna conscious. He wanted the money for Krishna's service. So devotees are desireless for personal benefits or material sense enjoyment, but they do have a desire to serve Krishna, please Guru and Krishna. So akama. Next, aniha. Aniha means indifferent to material acquisitions. That means, even though if a devotee does acquire any material assets, he doesn't think about it much. For him, its value is only that much, as much it can be utilized in Krishna's service. Otherwise, he has no importance of that. So that is aniha. I remember this pastime where once Tamal Krishna Maharaj was telling Prabhupada very excitedly, Prabhupada, our collection has increased, the weekly collection has increased from $10 to $50. I think it was weekly collection or daily collection. So he was just very excited that, you know, such a big jump from $10 to $50. And he thought Prabhupada will be very happy about it. And Prabhupada said, so what is the big thing? If Krishna wants, he can give you the whole of America. He can give you all the money of America. Do you know how to use it? That is what is important. Do you know how to use it? Krishna wants, he can give you, but do you know how to use it? So he thought so much with his example that whatever the material things or things that we are gaining, make sure that we know how to make use of it in Krishna's service. Otherwise, what is the use? So that is, devotees are aniha. Whatever it is, they want to use it for Krishna's service. And Prabhupada was so particular about not wasting Krishna's money. In the final days, when he was in Vrindavan, he had a secretary by the name Upendra. So once Prabhupada got a itching in his eyes, so he told Upendra that go to Gopinath Bazaar and get some small, you know, those plastic cups. You can fill in water and you can just put on your eyes and, you know, then you can clean your eyes and the itching goes away. So Upendra, he went to the Gopinath Bazaar and he got that. So Prabhupada was very happy. So Prabhupada asked him, so how much you paid for this? So he said, Prabhupada, 4 rupees. Prabhupada said, 4 rupees? Are you crazy? This is only 1 rupee. In 1 rupee you can get simple, you know, cups for washing eyes. But he said, Prabhupada, they said 4 rupees, so I paid 4 rupees. So Prabhupada scolded him in the morning. Again, Prabhupada scolded him in the afternoon. Prabhupada scolded him in the evening. Prabhupada scolded him whole day. How did you give 4 rupees? And he told everybody, you know, this fellow, he gave 4 rupees for that. And Upendra Prabhu says that founder Acharya of a worldwide international movement, I just spent 2-3 rupees more, and Prabhupada made sure to going on telling me and hammering me, how could you give more, you know. So it's just that he didn't want Krishna's money should be wasted. He was so particular. In fact, I remember hearing from Prabhupada disciples how when they went for book distribution, they had to go by bus, and when they used to come and give the accounts back to Prabhupada, and then they have to submit the ticket. This is the ticket, Prabhupada, this is for this. And sometimes 5 paisa or 10 paisa change, the Prabhupada will ask, so where is the change? And they feel like this also Prabhupada will ask again. So much we worked hard, did book distribution, but Prabhupada will ask again, exact change. This is the bus ticket, just give the money back. You know, he's so... I think it was Brahmananda Prabhu, or I'm not able to recollect now this. I had heard long time back how he had given all his salary to Prabhupada every month, and then he wanted Srimad Bhagavatam first canto or second canto, which Prabhupada was distributing after his lecture, and everybody was coming and, you know, giving some $10 or some money, something, I'm not able to remember now, some money, and they had to pick it up. And Brahmananda Prabhu thought that I'm giving my whole salary to Prabhupada, so definitely this book Prabhupada may give me free. But when he went, Prabhupada said, money, so for the book. So he was like, my whole salary I'm giving to him, still he's asking me money for this book, you know. So then next time he had to, you know, actually earn some more little money, keep it aside, and he had to actually buy that book. Prabhupada never gave it to him free. So yeah, that was Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. So yes, devotees are aniha, they are indifferent to material acquisitions, but the pure devotees of the Lord want to use everything for Krishna's service. So, we'll go to the next quality. Sthira. Sthira means a devotee is fixed in Krishna consciousness. No matter what situation arises in his life, he's fixed. Not like, you know, when everything is fine, fair weather, then I'm pure devotee, I'll do everything for Krishna. But when the situation is not conducive, then I become complete karmi. So it's like every situation a devotee doesn't lose his focus on Krishna. In every situation he doesn't fall down from the basic, see, like for example the four regulative principles. This is something one needs to follow no matter what situation is. I remember one pastime of how once one devotee was telling Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, please help me, I am not able to follow the four regulative principles. So everybody was there, Prabhupada was walking, the devotee came to Prabhupada, and then everybody thought, let's see what Prabhupada says. And Prabhupada very gravely, he said, if you are not able to follow four regulative principles, nobody can help you. Hare Krishna. And he just left. Simple. You know, what he meant to say is that this much you have to do. Pakka. You know, if you can't follow this, then even nobody can. That means even I can't help you if you don't follow the four regulative principles. So like that, Prabhupada was so, you know, particular. So whatever is situation, you know, even in our lives, we have to make sure that certain standard we don't give up. You know, sometimes, yeah, in devotee's life also, there may be some, you know, situations where maybe we can't follow Krishna consciousness or render devotional service in the same high and same spirit, because maybe the situation is not very conducive. But still, every devotee should have like a certain standard. Below this, you don't go, no matter what situation arises in your life. So, yes, we see in Srila Prabhupada's life, he was sthira. You know, he started the Back to Godhead magazine in 1944, then he had to stop, then again he started, there were so many problems, his manuscripts were sold for tea biscuits by his wife, situation was so bad in Allahabad. The shop got burnt, business were losses, family life was not okay. So many situations he faced in life, but he didn't give up his Krishna consciousness. He was fixed. And though delayed, but it was there in his mind, whatever the instructions given by his guru. And even though late, he finally did it. He fulfilled his guru's instructions. So that is one quality of devotee, is sthira. They are in every situation, they don't give up Krishna consciousness. In fact, Vishnujan Maharaj was once asking Srila Prabhupada. He said, how do we know that a devotee is fixed in Krishna consciousness? Or how do we know the strength of a devotee? And Prabhupada just said two words. Prabhupada said, for how long is he able to hold the kartal? That shows the strength of his Krishna consciousness. How long is he able to keep kartal? So, because it's not very easy to do bhajan, right? So many things will divert your mind. But if somebody is able to keep kartal, that's what he means to say by how long can a person hold kartal, means how fixed the person is in Krishna consciousness. That determines his spiritual strength. So a Vaishnav is sthira. In every situation he is fixed up. We see that even in the final days, when Prabhupada was not feeling well. In fact, I remember one thing I should share. When Prabhupada had, I think it was in 1967, when Prabhupada had this stroke, mild stroke, and that was the next day of Memorial Day. They called an ambulance and they took Prabhupada to the hospital, and he was there for 1 week in the hospital. And I think after that, when he came back to the temple, so imagine, he just had stroke, right? And when he came back to the temple, in the temple there was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur photo. And Prabhupada did a Shakshat Dandavat Pranam. So why I'm giving this example is that whether mentally, physically, socially, whatever his situation he had, whether it was a health problem or whatever problem, he never gave up his standards. He was so pakka, so fixed up. There was one more pastime shared by Lakshmi Narayan Prabhu. He was saying that how in the final days in 77, when Prabhupada was bedridden, so they had this system that 24 hours they used to chant Hare Krishna Kirtan next to Prabhupada. So all the devotees were given duty. So once they asked Lakshmi Narasimha Prabhu that, do you want to do that, chanting midnight for Prabhupada? And he said, definitely, please give me the opportunity. So he was allowed inside Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada was sleeping in his bed and Lakshmi Narasimha Prabhu was sitting down, and Bhavananda Prabhu gave him some kartal. So he was just softly playing Hare Krishna Kirtan. Prabhupada is sleeping and Bhavananda Prabhu is tiptoeing, doing some work very silently without disturbing. So after 1 or 2 hours, he saw that Prabhupada is not making any motionless. He's motionless. That means Prabhupada maybe is in deep sleep. So then, after some time, he got bored of chanting same tune. So he started chanting something else. And those days, some people had come up with some new bhajan. This Brahma Kahe Chaturmukha Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, something like that, some kind of a tune. So he, just for the change, he started singing like that, Brahma Kahe Chaturmukha Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Now he thought Prabhupada is sleeping. Now when he just finished that first line, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Prabhupada raised his hand, and told him stop. He couldn't speak stop, but with his hand he's saying stop. And immediately Bhavananda Prabhu was doing some work and he looked, and then he started, whispering, what are you doing? What are you, just chant Hare Krishna. Don't sing this and that. But Prabhupada was so particular that focus only on Harinam, only on Hare Krishna Kirtan. If you see in Prabhupada's life also, you don't see that he sang many different melodies or something. Some basic melody, 3, 4, 5 melodies, and that's about it. Singing Hare Krishna. His whole focus was on chant. Sometimes, as devotees, sometimes we get so immersed with the tunes, is it not? And more than concentrating on holy name, we are enjoying that tune. And now the recent trend in the devotees is they start copying Bollywood tunes. Some Bollywood song, something, and they will chant Hare Krishna. Now, of course, they will say we are doing it for preaching, we are doing it for attracting the youngsters, we are doing it, you know, so that people feel attracted. But the whole point is that at least it should be avoided inside the temple room. Because there our clientele, or rather the people whom we are trying to attract, is normal people. They come to the temple with a spiritual heart. I don't think they need some Bollywood tune to be attracted. That can be used when somebody is in some youth forum, youth festival where you want to attract. But so Prabhupada was very particular. No, it's a simple tune of Hare Krishna, but more focus on the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra rather than the tune. So, sthira. How can we be sthira? We can be sthira if we do proper shravanam and kirtanam. Right? Is it not? As devotees, don't we see that in our lives also, right? Whenever the shravanam and kirtanam gets a little weak, then everything gets weak, right? Then the service gets weak, the whole mood gets weak. But when the shravanam and kirtanam is going well, then we do so well, we become so enthusiastic, is it not? If you stop reading, stop hearing, if you're not reading Bhagavatam every day, if you're not hearing classes, your spirits go down. But when we are continuously doing shravanam kirtanam, then we are sthira in Krishna consciousness. Okay, we can do this last... Do you want me to do this last quality today, or you want me to tell you my favorite pastime of Prabhupada? We have 10 minutes. What do you want me to do? I can't hear him actually. Yeah? That was there in the chat box? Okay. Alright. So, I think we finished, not bad. Today we finished 15 qualities. And, I'll try to complete the... Yeah. I will complete the other qualities in the next episode. I'll complete the next qualities in the next episode, and I'll tell you my favorite pastime of Prabhupada. One of my favorite. It's not. I mean, there is so many pastimes that I like. I'll tell you one. I'll tell you this pastime I like about Indradyumna Maharaj. You know. I heard it from him, and it was very interesting how once he had the opportunity to travel with Srila Prabhupada. I think it was from the US to London, and he was there with one other devotee, I think Pradyumna Prabhu, and then they were sitting with Prabhupada in the flight. And you should hear it from Indradyumna Maharaj. He just says it so funnily. And he says, I was just trying to impress Prabhupada because the first time I am with Prabhupada traveling. And so the moment the flight is up in the air, they close the windows and they start a movie. And just before they had started this journey, Prabhupada had given a class where he was saying that my devotees don't watch movies because they are very busy chanting, so they don't watch movies. So Indradyumna Maharaj was like, oh my god, now the movie is going to start. So he immediately takes out his Bhagavad Gita and very loudly he starts saying, you know, all the slokas, you know, Sarva Dharman Parityaja, and he just wants to impress Prabhupada. And so he's reading from Bhagavad Gita and he's reciting, and Prabhupada is sitting next to him, and in between he just hears Prabhupada is laughing. So he thinks that is Prabhupada laughing at me, and he just looks at Prabhupada and he says Prabhupada is watching the movie, and he's like, oh wow, Hare Krishna. So he just closed the Bhagavad Gita and he says, okay. So then he also starts watching the movie, and then Pradyumna Prabhu is also watching the movie. So all three of them are watching, and it's a Charlie Chaplin movie, and Prabhupada is laughing and laughing. So at the end of the movie, Indradyumna Maharaj makes a sign at Pradyumna Prabhu and says, I want to talk to you. Let's meet near the restroom, you know. So they both go next to the restroom in the plane. And then he says, what are we supposed to make of this? pure devotee is watching movie. So shall we ask Prabhupada that Prabhupada, can devotees watch movies? So Pradyumna Prabhu says, yeah, you ask. So Indradyumna Maharaj says, no, you ask. And he says, no, you ask. And they flip a coin. And finally, I think Pradyumna Prabhu asks this question. And then they go to Prabhupada and they are like, Prabhupada, can we ask you a question? Is it okay to watch a movie? So then Prabhupada says, look, Krishna is the original humorist. And even when I was young, I used to watch this Charlie Chaplin. And Charlie Chaplin has very good original humor. So I am seeing Krishna in his humor. And then Prabhupada looks gravely at them and says, I'm seeing Krishna in him. So what are you seeing? You know, what are you seeing in him? I'm seeing Krishna in him. So they are like, you know, we also see Krishna. What can they say more? And then the flight lands. And now Indradyumna Maharaj is all the while thinking in his mind that, wow, I'm going to land this time with Prabhupada as his Prabhupada's secretary. So imagine the kind of respect everybody will give me. Because, you know, when you come as a servant of Guru, everybody is like, you know, pampering you. So he's like, wow, first of all, I'll enjoy feast. And then, you know, the kind of attention that I'll get. And he's all excited. So they get down and then they are near this... you know, where they have to, take the luggage, suitcase, you know, so they are at that belt, the cargo belt, and they are waiting. So all the Prabhupada luggage comes, but for one suitcase. And Shyam Sundar Prabhu has already come inside, you know, to take Prabhupada. So now they are waiting, and this suitcase is not coming. So Shyam Sundar Prabhu says, why are we all waiting? Why not just we ask one devotee to stay back and bring that suitcase, and rest of us can go to the temple. Now immediately Indradyumna Maharaj says, I was very sharp. I thought, and that devotee is definitely not me, because I want to go with Prabhupada and enjoy the welcome festival. So he just starts hiding behind a pillar so that they don't see him. But Prabhupada is actually looking for him everywhere. And then Prabhupada says, here, there he is. Hey, come here. You stay for this suitcase, so we'll go. And Indradyumna Maharaj is like, oh my God, I tried my best to hide behind the pillar and they called me. Stay for this suitcase and we'll go and you just join us. So they all left for the temple and he's waiting for 2 hours. Finally, he got the suitcase. And he was so upset and angry with the suitcase. Why did you have to be misplaced? And, you know, why did you take so much time to come? So with all the anger, he just, you know, barges inside the taxi. And then he's very angrily telling the taxi driver, 7 Buri Place. And the taxi driver is like, looks like you had a bad day, sir. And he's like, yes, I had a bad day. And then finally they reach the London Temple. Now Prabhupada's room is on the second floor, so he takes out the luggage and he's just dragging the luggage and coming inside the temple. Now he expected that somebody will come and offer him that, Prabhu, shall I take the luggage from you? But nobody, because everybody is having plate in their hand. They just finished prasadam. They're going for washing the plate and washing the hand. And Indradyumna Maharaj says, I just looked at the plates. The plates were completely clean. You know, when you like the prasadam and it's very tasty, you know, you make sure that the last thing also you have wiped it, you know. This is completely clean plate and everybody's washing hands. So he just goes and says, Prabhu, have you kept some prasadam for me? And the kind of look they give him is like, so who are you? You know, I'm sorry, Prabhu, but we don't have any prasadam left. So he's like really angry. And then he asks, where is Prabhupada's room? So they say on the second floor or the first floor. So now he has no prasadam. He missed the welcome festival. So now he's dragging that suitcase and very angrily going up, you know, to the staircase. And finally he reaches, and that room says, you know, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So Prabhupada's name is there on the room. So he just opens the door and now he turns and now he's sliding the suitcase inside. And then suddenly somebody shouts, stop, you're going to push Prabhupada. So then he just looks back and Prabhupada is standing there in his gamcha towel. Prabhupada just finished his prasad and he was going for taking bath. So if he would have moved an inch further, he would have actually barged into Prabhupada. So he immediately stopped and turned and he did a dandavat pranam to Prabhupada. And, you know, he's like, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya. You know, just going on. And then Prabhupada just with his hand gives a slap on his, on his back. And Prabhupada says something and leave. So then when he gets up, Prabhupada is not there. So then he asks the other devotees, what did Prabhupada just say? Well, he was happy at least Prabhupada touched him and slapped him, but he wanted to hear what Prabhupada said. So that devotee who was standing next to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada said, that now you are facing all this temporary inconvenience, but once when I take you with me to Goloka Vrindavan, all your miseries will be over. And Indradyumna Maharaj said, that was so sweet. All my anger, all my tiredness, everything disappeared when Prabhupada made this statement that when I take you with me to Goloka Vrindavan, all your miseries will go away. Now I'm paraphrasing it, you know, I may not have the exact word, but this is what he meant. And personally, I like this pastime so much because in this preaching movement, all of us are doing our little part, and sometimes we try to go out of our comfort zone and work hard to preach Guru and Krishna. And there will be times in our life where we'll think like, oh my God, I just can't do it anymore. And then when you hear this pastime, you are like, Prabhupada said, this is temporary inconvenience. And if we can somehow please him, he'll take us all back to Goloka Vrindavan, and where, I know, once and for all the miseries are, you know, will go away. So I thought it is so nice. It keeps me in high spirits, that especially that word temporary inconveniences, and gives me a lot of solace. In fact, there's one more small pastime that I like very much. Personally, I'm just sharing it with you since the devotees asked last time. There's one pastime where Prabhupada is on a morning walk with Tamal Krishna Maharaj and other devotees. And Prabhupada is, you know, with his cane, he's asking, what is this herb? What is this tree? What is this shrub? What is this plant? And they're explaining, Prabhupada, this is give this kind of a fruit, this gives this, that gives that. So one particular tree that Prabhupada was pointing out, then I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Prabhupada, this does not give anything. It is useless. And Prabhupada gets all upset and he says, you are useless. Nothing is useless in Krishna's creation. Everything has a role. Everything has a role. You are useless. You don't know what is the role of this tree, but nothing in Krishna's creation is useless. Personally, I'm a big, big fan of this particular pastime, because I love it when Prabhupada says that nothing is useless in Krishna's creation. See, even if we now see practically, you see, certain shrubs and herbs which we thought were of no use, like some cactus. Now we see aloe vera. People talk about aloe vera. Aloe vera is good for health, good for this, good for that. But then there were many years ago, nobody even knew about it. They simply thought maybe this was just some kind of a useless cactus kind of a thing, right? But now they know. So Prabhupada is so right in saying that there is nothing which is useless in Krishna's creation. Everybody has a role to play. And I like it personally because when I feel like, oh come on, what am I doing for Prabhupada? I'm not able to do anything. And then when I remind myself of this pastime and I feel nothing is useless in Krishna's creation. So then I feel, that's all right. I'm not useless. Prabhupada will definitely use me in something. You know, is it not? So I just love this personally. I love it. And when Prabhupada says that nothing is useless in Krishna's service, so I like it personally very much. You know, it gives me a lot of solace that, okay, that's all right. Prabhupada will try to use me in some or the other way. Everybody can't be, you know, the expert in everything, but whatever quality we have, Prabhupada will definitely use us in Krishna's service, because nothing is useless in Krishna's creation. So that's about it. If you want me, I'll end up with one very nice humorous pastime, and then if okay, there's no more time, I will just end up with this humorous pastime. I want to leave you on a humorous note before our next class. I read this from this book, My Glorious Master, by Bhurijan Prabhu. And I liked it. It was, Bhurijan Prabhu was talking about that how once Prabhupada was going to give a class, and they didn't have a stand, you know, something where Prabhupada can keep his Gita. So they asked Bhurijan Prabhu to make a small stool or something which Prabhupada can keep his Gita. So Bhurijan Prabhu had very less time, so he had to very quickly do it. So he just brought some plywood, some four kind of base, he just connected it, put some nails, and somehow he made something where Prabhupada could put his Gita. So okay, Prabhupada arrived, the stand is ready, Prabhupada put his Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada started giving the class. So while Prabhupada is giving class, he's going like to and fro, you know, like this, like that, and he's giving lot of weight on that stand, you know. And now this stand was just made temporarily. So what Burijan Prabhu could see is that those silver nails, you know, they were glittering, they were coming out, actually, you know, they were like almost coming out, or rather threatening to come out. And he was there sitting in the class, and next to him Sudama Vipraswami was sitting in the class. So Burijan Prabhu says in his book, he said, I was not listening to the class. I don't know what Prabhupada was speaking. My complete concentration was on that stand, because those silver nails were threatening me that anytime we are ready to come out. And Prabhupada is putting all the pressure on that stand, and then sometime he's going like this and like that, and he's doing all sorts of things, you know. And he said that in my mind, the thought was going that imagine the stand breaks now. And then Prabhupada will immediately ask, who is that rascal? Who made this? Who made this stand? And he said, I was having all kinds of imagination about my doom day. I will be doomed, you know. What will happen to me? What Prabhupada will think? So he said, I was getting so emotional. The expression on my face is as if I'm going to cry now. So Sudama Vipraswami, who was sitting next to me, he looked at me, and then he doesn't understand what's going in my mind. So what he really thought was that maybe I'm getting too emotional by this lecture of Prabhupada. So he looked at me and he said that, looks like this lecture is really hitting you deep, huh? Very deep. Now he thought is that, you know, Prabhupada is giving this lecture and every word is hitting so deep in his heart, you know. So I mean, wow, what a great devotee. Every word is, you know, is hitting him, and he doesn't know what's happening. And Burijan Prabhu is like, yeah, very deep, very deep. And then he said, after the class was over, I jumped to take that stool and I put another 16 more nails to it so that it never comes out. So I thought that was so, so humorous, you know. So yeah, it is beautiful, beautiful pastime, right? So over to you, Divyanam Prabhu. I think I'm done. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Sab Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage. Sab Krishna.